Well, you were due to have a guest speaker this morning. You've got me. Okay. So Luke Dowding was due to be here. You may remember Luke's name. He was the person who, well, one of the people who helped us through the Creating Sanctuary course that we did last year. Unfortunately, he can't be with us today because he's attending the funeral of his brother-in-law tomorrow. So he's with family today. So a sad occasion for him. But I'm pleased to say that we will have opportunity to hear from him later in the autumn. According to Ashley's notes, Luke was due to speak on the title, A Passage of Your Choosing. Next Sunday, Rob is going to be concluding our season, our series on the Ten Commandments. So I'm not going to interrupt that plan. I'm going to take that title, A Passage of My Choosing. Now, this isn't a sermon, perhaps in the traditional sense. It's more of a personal reflection. And we'll have opportunity after I've spoken for each of us just to reflect and to pray and to sense what God is saying to us. But a bit more about that later. So, David, if you could put something on the screen. So my title and the passage that I'm referring to is John 10:27, Above All Other Voices. And you'll get the gist of that, I think, as I speak. But the image I want to start with is this one. So if you're on Facebook, you'll have seen this a couple of weeks ago. Our lead minister, Ash, and his wife, Sandra, after completing the Camino in Spain. And the brief note beneath the picture says, Done Camino Portuguese, from Porto to Santiago, 196 miles in 40 days, tired and emotional. That's it. No other images, no other words. A pilgrim walk from various points in Europe and ending at the tomb of St. James in Santiago de Compostela in Spain. A spiritual journey. Ash published his message on Facebook on Sunday the 18th of June, the day after I had attended the Baptist Assembly gathering in Telford. And it was the first time I'd been. I was pleasantly surprised. I'm glad to say it was actually a lot better than I expected. I'd heard stories of its very traditional form. But really, it was very similar to many conferences, Christian conferences you might go on. And I was really very encouraged. And the title was Mission Is. There were a number of speakers. Bishop Mike Royal, General Secretary of Churches Together. There was Arthur Brown of BMS, Barbara Blake's son-in-law. It was interesting and it was challenging. And on seeing Ash's post, I realized that I could have used the same words to describe how I felt when I and about 60 others came to the front of the platform in front of this gathering of about 900 people to be recognized as a fully accredited Baptist minister. Working along the row with each receiving a handshake from the president of the Baptist Union, our own, because he is from Manchester, Reverend Tim Presswood, General Secretary of Baptist Together, Lynn Green, and Kang San Tan, the General Director of BMS, marking the end of a journey. I actually became a fully accredited minister last November, but apparently you need a handshake from the president to confirm it, okay? So there's the assembly, there's their gathering, some of the people there, and there's proof. So that's me in the blue shirt. Okay, so it actually happened. So it's official, you know, when all that's done, isn't it? Over the next few days, I found myself needing to reflect on how I felt, and I honestly wasn't expecting to react the way that I had done in the assembly hall. Then it dawned on me that the long journey that I'd submitted myself to 8 years previous had actually reached its conclusion. And yes, I was finding myself tired and emotional. I was moved by all that God had done in me and that he would call me to this role. So the purpose for me sharing this morning and other reflections that I'll share in a moment isn't to draw attention to me. But I've realized that in looking back over the journey, I could see how, in a number of ways, God guided me. And it's these experiences that I want to share with you with the hope that they might be helpful to you. And as I share, I invite you to be open to hear God speaking to you this morning, to reflect on the guidance that God has given you. What has He said to you in the past, and what is He saying now in your faith journey with Him? And very pointedly, for you to reflect on what you are doing about what He has said and what He is saying now. Your story won't be the same as mine. The calling, the leads, whatever it is God is seeking for you to do and preparing for you to do will be different to mine, not making any comparisons. And if you're uncertain that God can speak and wants to speak to you, if you say, "I don't hear God speak," I hope some of what I share just opens up the possibility of you hearing God in other ways. And that verse from John's Gospel, chapter 10, 27, says this: "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me." In other words, God is speaking to all who choose to follow Jesus. He knows you, and by listening, you can hear from Him. Not necessarily an audible voice, although some do hear God in that way, but in many ways that God reveals His direction to us. So I'm firstly going to reflect on a number of incidents that happened on my journey. Not everything that happened, I'll spare you that. It could go on for a long time. But the first happened 15 years ago, and it was a hunger to study, to go deeper, to know more of God, to take faith seriously. I'd been a Christian a long time, but I just sensed there was more I needed to understand, and that Christianity for me just couldn't be superficial. I needed to go deeper. God was prompting me to get on with that, and as I discovered later, leading me into something new. I investigated courses, and you know where I ended up, I think, at Westminster Theological Center, as a number have done. I went on a taster day, as did Liz and Mike Partridge, and Claire Gregory is here. She studied there, and Rob has been studying there as well. And it gave opportunity to both work and to study, so Monday evenings and a couple of residentials during the year. At that point, I did not know where this desire to study was going to lead. No plans or expectations of any outworking of it, but I knew that it was something I needed to do. The second indication to me that I want to refer to was that I had this growing interest in the vision that God had given to church leaders. Why do I say that? How did I come across that? Well, it was really through my work. So in my work as an architect, I was working with churches, helping them to modify, develop their buildings to meet the vision that they believe God had called them to. And it put me in that position of asking questions of leaders, of where God was leading them, and therefore how buildings could help to serve them. Some of us can adjust quickly to a big change of direction in our lives, but for most of us, my experience is that God uses what we're already doing to prepare us for what He has in the future. And God was showing me things through my work, through these experiences of working with others who were seeking God's vision for them. God used that to draw me closer to knowing more and into something new. And then there's the discernment and encouragement of others. And this is a really helpful and vital form of guidance that God uses to help us. I tested my sense of this unsettledness, this sense of a need to change direction with others, those whose judgment I could trust, wise and experienced Christians who had known me for many years. I believe God places such people on our path. Who are they for you? They're precious, they're very special, they're a gift from God. And at the time, the elders were also looking into tools that could help us lead missional communities. You might remember huddles and all the use of those, and we tested it out, we tried it out in eldership. And one of the keys to it was the openness and honesty, sharing with other people about what God was doing in us and saying to us. And I opened up, and as did others, and it was a most extraordinary conversation, because as I did so, I discovered that God was doing really very significant things in other people's lives. And that sort of encouraged me to press on, to keep going. A more unusual way of receiving help from others also came through something that was done at WTC. And I've never seen it done anywhere else. You may be familiar with it. It's called a trimetric test. It's kind of a personality test. It looks at behaviors, motivators, emotions. And it concludes with a one-to-one conversation with somebody. Now, this was run by a Christian organization. They came into WTC during the first term. And it was one of the most moving experiences in this guidance, in this clarity of what God wanted to do. It was as though I was speaking to somebody who knew me already, and I'd never met them before. But they did this very prayerfully, very carefully, and it exposed what they described as a dissonance between what I was doing and what I wanted to do. And it also recognized that that unease wasn't generating an unhappiness or uncertainty about the future, but rather it revealed that I was very hopeful and ready for the new thing God wanted me to do. They prayed, and it was a key step, really, in that sense of calling to move into what God was wanting to do. I continued with my studies and waited for God to reveal more and to show me the next step. And the next step was the biggest, because it was to step away from what I'd been doing, from what I was familiar with, from the security of job and all its benefits, and to be available. And I did not know what he was asking me to do. I just knew that I had to pull away from that. God reveals his plan step by step. I think if he showed everything to us from the beginning, we'd just be completely overwhelmed and we wouldn't move forward at all. It's that gentle, caring step given to us. It's challenging, but from the God who loves us and cares deeply for us and knows us. He just wanted me to say yes. And it was quite difficult to let go of it all. It had been a wonderful job. It had been a calling in itself to be doing what I'd been doing. And it was only after I'd been willing to let it go that God began to reveal what he wanted me to do. And as you know, the church began to look for someone to take up this role that I have now. I resisted at first. I was overwhelmed by the thought that God might ask me to do this. I think whenever God calls us to do something, our first reaction is, not me, Lord. You know, not me. I know I'm not equipped and able to do this. And of course, if God's calling us to do something, what he's doing is saying, I want you. I want you. I don't want anybody else. I want you. And that fact that he knows you so well, and that he will care for you through it, coupled with the truth that it's God who will do the work in and through you, that gives you confidence to move forward. It's God who does it ultimately in us. We're not able in ourselves. We've heard before, I think it was a brilliant little poem, really, summarizing the characteristics of the 12 disciples. You wouldn't have taken on any of them from that, but Jesus did. The church was actually considering someone else at the time. And another test, really, was for that process to be completed before I put my name forward, as others had encouraged me to do. The last reflection that I'll share just on my personal journey like this is this one of, before I want to share also just a couple of very important general principles about how God guides us, I don't want us to lose sight of those, but was to basically stay the course, to act on what God has shown you, to act on what is revealed, that next step, and stick to it. Keep waiting, keep praying, keep looking out for the next revelation, but at the same time, remain faithful to what God has already shown you. Ministerial training is a long process. It includes academic study, church history, practical teaching, and all of that. But the word they use is formation. And I believe this applies to all of us, whatever God is calling us to. It's used in ministerial training, and it is a challenging word to hear, because it sounds as though we're not good enough. It sounds as though we need changing, knocking into shape. And I did, and we do, but it sounds a bit heavy. But in truth, it's about that work of putting ourselves into God's hands, being pliable for him to form us, to change us, so that we are ready to take on the role that he has for us. I mentioned key principles, and I think we really do need to just weigh a little bit on these. We must have scripture central to our discernment of God's direction and calling. If we're not living in step with the teaching of God and his word, then we're open to so many other influences around us. We won't hear, we won't register what God is saying. There's something that we need to learn early in our Christian life, and we need to stick with it. We must never think we're beyond the need to be taught by scripture. And of course, this series that we're doing now, the Ten Commandments, do this, don't do that. They're great instructions. The depth of them, Jesus reveals in Matthew 5 through to 7. We need to live lives faithful to God's word. God directed to me to many verses and passages throughout this journey. But the one I want to share with you is the one that stayed with me for a long time in my faith journey, which is Proverbs 3. I know it's precious to many. Verses 5 to 7. Sorry, there we go. Simply says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise by your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. I keep coming back to them. Trust in the Lord rather than your own understanding just makes sense to me. Our ways are not God's ways. He is sovereign. He is Lord of all, creator, the one who loves and knows what's best for us. Makes sense to me that we should in all things trust him rather than our own thoughts of what's best for us. And then the verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And for me, there's something in those words that speaks of God's assurance to us that he knows our heart, the deep inner self. He cares about our desires, our hopes, and our dreams. But he wants them to be shaped and satisfied in accordance with his will for us. And in all your ways, submit to him, be faithful, trust his promise. He will guide you always. It's a great passage of scripture. Read either side of it, read more of it. There'll be particular scriptures that are precious to you that are guiding your life, and you must trust them to guide your life going forward. The second point is that the Spirit of God is with us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us, to all who believe and are seeking to follow Jesus. He promises this gift, and his Spirit will prompt us to do his will. The Spirit acts in many different ways, ways that are personal to you, a desire in your heart to do something, a picture, an image in your mind that causes you to think about God's direction, your eyes drawn to the need of others, a challenge for you to respond to. Many, many ways that God prompts us by his Spirit. My plea is that we give attention to those promptings. Don't push them aside. God's voice can be quiet. It can be very gentle. Many other noises and influences around us can be very loud. But we know it when we hear it and when we see it. The Spirit prompts us to something that God wants us to give our attention to. You might write it down, journal. It would have been a lot easier to give these reflections this morning. had I written it all down? But there you go. So some people do that regularly. It's a way of processing, a way of reflecting and thinking through what they've seen or heard. I encourage you to do it. You'll be reminded of things that God has said before that you need to give attention to. And the final point of these is that we hear God's voice, his voice, above all others. There are many voices. We can be distracted, led away. We can miss the path that God's got for us. We can miss it. Hear his voice above all others. It's vitally important to you. Go to the place where you can meet God, the place of stillness. For most, it's the place of stillness and quiet. For some, sound is fine and it doesn't distract. But for many, it's the place of quietness. It might be in the countryside, a place that you visit regularly and find peace, a particular chair that you sit on at home. But do so and pray and listen and pray and listen. Give time to God's voice. It's the place of honesty before God, of vulnerability and of waiting and of hearing the voice that you need to hear. And in case you come away from this thinking that the path has been linear for me, no bumps on the road, you couldn't be further from the truth. Looking back, I know that God called me several years before I fully responded to his call. And I regret that. I regret not responding earlier. I had some doubts, of course. I questioned the timing around what was doing. He definitely tested me when it came to leaving the practice, because my conversation with God was, you need to find the person to replace me who has the same passion, same heart to serve the church as an architect before I should move. That was my plan. It wasn't God's. God said, no, you've got to move now. And it was only after I had done so that that issue was resolved. I'm going to pray in a moment, and Sally is going to come up on the platform and guide us through how we might respond to what I've shared. I strongly believe that God is speaking to all of us, and he does so in many different ways, some of which I've outlined. What he does do is speak in specific ways to each one of us. He's been speaking all your life as you follow Jesus. How much have you heard? How much did I hear? How much have you responded to? How much is still to respond to? If you want to read further, there are many books, of course, on this subject. There's a couple that I'm aware of, that I know of, that I've read. If you want a light read, then go to Mark Aldridge, Learning to Hear God's Voice. It's a thin volume. If you want to go a bit deeper, go to Brad Jerzak. I like his image. Can you hear me tuning in to a God who speaks? He was one of the tutors at WTC whilst I was studying there. So go deeper, go further yourself in reading. So I'm going to pray for us now, and then Sally's going to come up. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that you care so much about us. And we thank you that you have purpose for us in our lives as we follow you. A purpose for the building of your kingdom. In whatever place, in whatever way, you call us to serve and to be fulfilled in that calling. And Lord, sometimes we hear you and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we've heard you from the past and haven't responded. And maybe that's a word that's true for some here today. And for you, I pray that God will help you this morning. The promptings of the Spirit to respond to what God has said and that is yet to be done. God can be trusted wholly. you can say yes, and he will lead you through the first step of obedience. So, Lord, help us all to be faithful to your word, to hear your word above all others, and to follow you with our lives, surrendered to you. In Jesus' name, amen.